mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Merry Christmas, dear people of God. 4 weeks of Advent have come and gone, and here we are once again, hearing the Christmas story, imagining the original nativity scene, and singing songs which remind us for the reason for the season. This morning, our Luke chapter 2 text is so familiar to Christians, both young and old, but the story never grows stale. The Holy Family needed to travel to Bethlehem for the census that was for everyone in the Roman Empire. Mary and Joseph were betrothed, or in our modern terms, legally pledged to be married, engaged, perhaps. But in those days, it meant that Mary had to go with Joseph to not only pay taxes, but she was subject to the census. In Mary's womb, however, was something very special. It was the baby Jesus, the Son of God, who was traveling with them. In verses 6 and 7, we read, "While they were there, she gave birth." While they were there, so their trip was successful, and she gave birth. The delivery of baby Jesus was successful too. And even though there was no place for them in the inn, God provided. They had shelter, they had clothes for baby Jesus, and they had each other. Then as the shepherds were working the field, God's angels appeared to them and said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And while we have heard the rest of the story, I would like to stop and reflect on this verse 10. God's angel appeared to a group of unsuspecting shepherds. They commanded them, "Do not fear." And very quickly, if we remember, the angels had six wings, two covering their feet, two covering their face, and two flying. They were kind of scary. But they said, "Do not fear, because I bring you good news of great joy. And this will be for all people." And here we have it, the start of the gospel story, the beginning of Jesus' story. But wait, there's more. This is good news of great joy. People, are we excited yet? How could this possibly get any better? Well, I'll tell you. Because it's good news of great joy for all people. All people. So joy, what does this word mean to us? I imagine the answers come straight from the dictionary. Feeling of great pleasure and happiness. And there is no greater joy than when the kids run to the Christmas tree to open their presents this morning. Right? They have waited all year for this moment, or at least as long as the Christmas tree has been up and there have been presents there. This excitement can hardly be contained to see what they're getting. And even the adults too, I mean, isn't it pretty great getting socks and undershirts every year? It's pretty great for me. After the presents have been opened and the wrapping paper goes into the recycling bin, as good people who are following German law, the parents sit back and think, "Well done, we've done it." Because there's no greater joy realizing you've worked so hard, not only to give gifts and presents to your loved ones, but also to put food on the table, a roof over our head. There is great joy in establishing a household, a home. In one short week, we will celebrate another holiday. This one, however, is not focused on the Christian faith. Instead, it's focused on our created earth making one more revolution around the sun. And this holiday actually brings together two joyous moments that we can celebrate. First, we have great joy looking back at our past year accomplishments, accolades. And if there haven't been too many of those, we can at least thank God for another year on his earth. And second, we look forward with purpose in order to set goals, so that if we do not already have it right now, we can work toward a better life, a more comfortable life. Either way, a joyful past year or a new year celebration invites us to focus on personal growth. So during this time of year, we have these three ideas which can bring us joy: presents, gifts, working hard for what we have, or the combination of memories and goal setting on December 31st. And I'm not going to stand up here and say that these things are evil, sinful, or bad, because they're not. And if we look to the Christmas story in Matthew, We read that baby Jesus got Christmas presents too. Frankincense, gold, and myrrh. And in the New Testament, we hear about Jesus' teachings when he was an adult, that a house is much stronger when the people inside of it love each other and encourage each other. And those year-end parties we have, they can actually serve as a reminder of Jesus' second coming. These canons should be joyful times in our lives. But the earthly joy that they bring, these three ideas, they do not come close to the joy that we find in the manger, right there with Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, the angels, the cattle. If and when anything in the world pulls our attention away from that manger, then those things do become sinful, bad, and evil. That's when we truly need to refocus our vision and look to the manger once again. Because it is there in the city of David in Bethlehem that the God of our ancestors, the God of the created universe, reveals himself to us in a baby, in Jesus Christ. He is the Savior of the world. And even if we lose focus for a moment on those awesome presents, the robots and the bikes, we remember that in this birth, God's new promise has come, and it is good news of great joy for all people. In that manger, we find the gifts not of gold or incense, but gifts of love, forgiveness, the gift of a God who invites us to draw near. And it's because of these gifts, these perfect, holy gifts, which, like the shepherds, we do not need to fear. But instead, we are free to gladly sing, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King." Amen. Merry Christmas.